Blog Talk Radio.
And that's very far from thee to do after that manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked.
Yahweh.
Favorite teacher, thus saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, he that made the same mistake again, he called it insanity. Show me a man without adversity, I show you a man without character. Send this messenger through us all to prepare us for disaster. Time is moving faster when the remnant makes it home. They'll be all living lavish. If he won't treat you right, won't teach you right. Serve Yahweh with all your soul and all your might. It'll make a brass monkey cry. True for tradition to bring the hearts of the fathers back to the children. There is no other God beside my maker name, Yahweh, your host. And there is no Holy Ghost. And supposing you thought he came to be priest on this earth, he said no. Old man for counsel and young man for woe. For show to the late great prophet who taught us the knowledge of Yahweh. Therefore I pay homage, giving glory to the Holy One, the King of the Kings, the strength of Israel. One day he redeemed
Yahweh.
Shalom. Again, Maria Alicia Israel of the House of Israel, bring your truth or traditions. Today I'm again honored to bring you the word of Yah. Who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the only lawgiver, the only judge, the only savior of Israel and the world. Well, today we're delighted to be here on Truth or Traditions. And we're going to talk about the death of the righteous. A very strong soldier died the other day, went home with the Creator. Brother that many of y'all know, Kemuel ben Israel. Well, we're going to speak on him today, as well as the death of the righteous. But before we get embarked on this beautiful conversation, we're going to bring you another beautiful song from the Voices of Zion entitled, Yah is King. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Marie Alicia Israel of the House of Israel, bringing your truth or traditions. Today, we're going to speak on the death of the righteous. What did Yah say about the righteous? The other day, Yahweh called one of our saints home. A dearly beloved brother by the name of Kemuel. This brother was a true warrior of Yahweh. Therefore, it is only befitting that we speak today on the death of the righteous. Is there a difference between the death of the righteous and the death of the wicked? It is, and we will bring this out today. According to Psalms 116, verse 15, Yahweh said, "Precious in the sight is Yahweh is the death of his saints." And Brother Kimuel was definitely one of the saints of the Most High. But before I make that emphatic statement, let's define the word saint. What is the definition of a saint? One definition is that a saint is one that had been sanctified. Sanctified. Now, what does it mean to be sanctified? If you look in the book of Psalms, 50th chapter, we're going to read about a saint and what it means to be sanctified. Because Yah speak at great length throughout the Holy Scriptures about his saints. And we know there's a lot of churches out here today, apostolic and Pentecostal, holiness churches, they all say they've been sanctified. And we ask them, what is the fruits of your sanctification? And where did Yahweh say that you were sanctified? One way to be sanctified is to be chosen by Yah, because he is the only one that can sanctify a person. And it reads in Psalms 50th division, the first five verses,
"The mighty Elohim, even Yahweh, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun."
It said the Creator has spoken and called the earth forth from the rising of the sun, because this is when the day began, until the going down thereof, because that's when it ends. And he made everything in 6 days.
"Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty."
Right here, let you know that Yah doesn't come from the Vatican. He doesn't come from Mecca, but it said, "Out of Zion is the perfection of beauty." The Almighty is the epitome of beauty, both externally and internally, both physically and spiritually. Yahweh is beautiful.
"Elohim have shined."
Yes, he has shined, and he shined his light upon us today. The scriptures read, "The people that have walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the valley of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined."
"Our Elohim shall come and shall not keep silent."
Yeah, no, he's not going to be silent when he's coming.
"A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above, and to the earth, that he may judge his people."
In other words, it's notice it said, "judge his people." A lot of people talked about how they've been part of the new covenant. Well, if you take your time and read the New Covenant, that's speaking only to Israel. It starts off, "I made a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah," Jeremiah 31 and 31. So there is no scripture where Yah has extended the new covenant to a group of people calling themselves Christians or Gentiles. That's totally erroneous. Furthermore, they will say, well, over here in Isaiah, in the ninth chapter, it says a son is given. But you didn't read the whole verse. It says, "Unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born." Unto us is speaking to the house of Israel as well. And then many of them will run to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and say, well, here's the Messiah here. Well, if that's talking about a Messiah, and indeed it is, a Masonic nation, but if you read it, it's speaking only of Israel, about this Messiah coming. There is no passage in the Holy Scriptures where a Messiah or an anointed one or a Redeemer or a Savior would be sent to anyone except Israel. And right here, Yah says he's coming back. But when he comes, he said there shall be a fire before him, and it shall be very what?
Very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people.
That he may judge his people. Again, he's talking about Israel, as he is in 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Whose land is he talking about? He's talking about our land in Jerusalem. Again, the whole conversation is about Israel.
Gather my saints together unto me.
Now, to be a saint, you have to be sanctified. And the only one that has the prerogative to sanctify anyone is Yahweh himself. And notice what he said, gather my saints together unto me.
Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
Those that have made a covenant or an agreement with me by sacrifice. And one of the greatest sacrifices that can be made is that when one joined themselves unto Yahweh and keep his holy 7-day Sabbath. If we look in the book of Exodus, the 31st chapter, and yes, Brother Kimuel came out of the darkness and joined himself to the house of Yah and began to keep his holy day Sabbath. Not the Sabbath that they call their self-keeping in these Seventh-day Adventist churches and these Pentecostal churches and these so-called holiness churches where they worship Christ all day and worship somebody they call Yahshua all day. On the Sabbath day, we can worship no one. We can exalt no one. We can magnify no one but Yahweh and him alone. There are no directives given by the mouth of Yah that we praise anyone else on this holy Sabbath other than himself. And I want to let you people know before it's too late that Yahweh is a jealous Elohim, even a consuming fire. And notice what he says about his 7-day Sabbath pertaining to his saints.
Exodus chapter 31, verse 12. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you.
Now everybody is looking for a sign. Everybody's saying, well, I want a sign that I know that I'm chosen, that I know that I'm special, that I know that I have a relationship with the Most High. Well, Yahweh gave his people a sign, and he gave this only to his people. And here's what he says again. Read that.
And Yahweh spake unto Moses.
And he spake unto Moses. Not so with any other of the deities that you're worshiping now. But he spake unto Moses and said,
speak thou also unto the children of Israel.
I hear again the whole conversation, as is all through the Holy Scriptures, or the so-called Old Testament, is speaking only of Israel,
saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep.
Verily my Sabbath ye shall keep.
For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generation.
In other words, it's a sign that Yah gave, an earthly sign, a visible sign, a sign that was conspicuous to all that wanted to make an observation, that this was a sign between him and his people forever, throughout their generations.
That ye may know that I am Yahweh, that does sanctify you.
In other words, Yahweh said he sanctified Israel. And Israel would always know they've been sanctified, for regardless what type of situation they're put into, they're going to find a way to keep Yah's Sabbath day. Because Yahweh made this a sign between him and his people forever, that they might know that he does sanctify them.
Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death.
He said, this is the holy day, and we're not to defile it. And whosoever defile the Sabbath shall surely be put to death.
Both.
That's how critical, that's how serious it is to be obedient to the voice of the Most High. Now, you might not die this day, but you will die the death of the wicked.
For whosoever does any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from amongst his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest.
And the seventh day of the week is a Sabbath of rest.
Holy to Yahweh.
Holy unto Yah.
Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death.
So we see that in order to be a saint, you must be sanctified. And one of the ways he sanctified his people is with the Sabbath day. You cannot call yourself sanctified if you're not part of his people and observing his holy Sabbath day. He goes on,
wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations.
Throughout their sons and their sons and their sons' sons, throughout their generations.
For a perpetual covenant.
For a perpetual, everlasting covenant.
It is a sign.
And he repeats, it is a sign
between me and the children of Israel.
Between me and the children of Israel. Not me and the Pentecostal churches. Not me and the so-called spiritual Jews. Not me and the Jewish people. Not me and the Seventh-day Adventists. Not me and a so-called Christian. But between me and my people forever.
For in 6 days, Yahweh made heaven and earth. And on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed.
All right. So that's one of the ways that you've seen Yah sanctifying his people who are called by his name. Called by the name of Israel. Furthermore, if you go to the book of Leviticus, the 11th chapter, according to Leviticus, the 11th chapter, notice what our Creator says in the 43rd to the 45th verse.
Ye shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall ye make your souls unclean with them.
In other words, the Creator said we should not make ourselves abominable by anything that's creeping on the earth, and we're not to make ourselves unclean with these things.
That ye should be defiled thereby. For I am Yahweh your Elohim. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves.
In other words, we got to sanctify ourselves by separating ourselves from the things that he said was unclean. And I know every time that Yah speaks to his people, and tell us something. Satan is always there to say, well, you're not going to die. You can eat of the tree. You won't die if you eat of these unclean things. You won't be defiled. Somebody else died for you. Yah says, for us not to make our souls abominable and be an abomination and be unclean, but we should sanctify ourselves also by our very actions. And that's what Brother Kemuel did. He also not only was sanctified by Yah when he kept his Sabbath day, but he sanctified himself and quit eating the foods that he was raised up with, that his brothers and sisters ate. He separated himself from those things and said, this is not the diet that Yah has proposed for his saints, and this is what I'm going to do, because I'm not going to make my soul abominable.
And ye shall be holy.
And Yah said, once you do this, you shall be holy. So you're not being holy just because you know how to speak in an unknown language that nobody can understand, that he never spoke of. You don't become holy because you know how to jump and shout and fall out. That's not holy. You are holy by your actions, by your ability and willingness to obey the instructions and the directions of the Most High. That's the only thing that can make you holy, Yahweh. And he will not make anyone holy. He will not sanctify anyone that's not joined unto his people to keep his holy covenants. Furthermore, if you look in the book of Leviticus, the 20th chapter, according to the book of Leviticus, the 20th chapter, let's read and see what it says in verse 25, should I say 24 to 26.
But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land.
I say unto you, this is when he gave us the land of Canaan, the promised land. He said, ye shall inherit their land.
And I will give it unto you to possess it.
I will give you this land to possess it.
A land that floweth with milk and honey. I am Yahweh your Elohim, which hath separated you from other people.
Yeah, the Creator said, I sanctified you. And when I sanctified you, I separated you from other people. You're not to go with the crowd. You're not to go down that big highway that everybody's going. I know Christianity and Islam is the largest religions in the world, and I know everybody's following that and joining those religions, but you are not to be like everybody else. I made you a peculiar people unto myself and have separated you from the other people. So the Almighty did never propose for us to join a religion that was spread by the sword, where they're trying to make everybody submit to Christianity or submit to Islam. That's not what he wanted us to do. He was very jealous, and he's jealous of his people. And he didn't tell us to try to make converts, apostatites. He told us to separate ourselves from all the other people. And then he said,
ye shall therefore put difference.
I want you to put a difference.
Between clean beasts.
Between clean beasts.
And unclean.
And unclean. I know they're going to tell you that they can eat anything. One group will tell you they can eat anything except a pig. The other group said they can eat anything, period. But Yahweh said, I have separated from you between clean beasts and unclean, and between clean fowls and unclean fowls.
And ye shall not make your souls abominable.
Okay, he used that word abominable again. Ye shall not make your souls or bodies abominable.
By beast, or by fowl, or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean.
Which I have separated from you as unclean. And the Almighty separated from us pigs and rats and bats and catfish and oysters and lobsters and shrimps and jellyfish and sharks and anything that's a scavenger of the land, a scavenger of the sea, or a scavenger of the air, he has separated it from us as unclean. And Brother Kemuel began to be a partaker of that holy diet that Yah designed with his own mind.
And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, Yahweh, am holy.
Your Creator said, ye shall be holy unto me, for I am holy.
And have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine.
And I have separated you from other people, that ye shall be mine. So Yahweh separated us. He didn't tell us to go around trying to get everybody to convert, make proselytes. He said, I separated you from other people that you might be mine. I want you to be a holy people, a peculiar people. What does Deuteronomy 7 chapter, the 6th verse say? Notice the words of the true and living Elohim, because he's talking about, and the Creator himself will define what it means to be holy. He will define what it means to be sanctified, and he will define the righteous today. Because there's a great gap between the righteous and the unrighteous, the clean and the unclean, the defiled and he that is holy. The Creator says in Deuteronomy 7 and 6,
for thou art an holy people unto Yahweh thy Elohim. Yahweh thy Elohim hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people.
Above all people. Did Chris say that? Read that again. I don't think my listening audience totally understood that this is the Creator that has separated his people. He said what again?
For thou art an holy people unto Yahweh thy Elohim. Yahweh thy Elohim have chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth.
All right. So he separated us to be holy unto him from above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. So Yah said he sanctified us. And then Yah said he wants us to sanctify various things and separate ourselves. And then we get to the book of Isaiah, the 8th chapter. Notice what Yah says about his saints. And he will name his saints. He says here in the book of Isaiah, the 8th chapter, starting at the 13th verse, and notice he's talking to the house of Israel again, and he tells them,
sanctify Yahweh.
Sanctify Yah. In other words, he sanctified us. He wanted us to sanctify ourselves and only eat certain types of food, and then he told us to sanctify him. So we're not to just go to any kind of church. We can't join any kind of religion. We can't, well, I'm sorry, but we can't respect your deities. We don't respect your religions. We don't respect your theologies. Yah says, sanctify Yahweh of hosts himself and let him
be your fear.
Let Yahweh be your fear.
And let him be your dread.
And let Yahweh be your thread.
And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many amongst them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken.
And then the Creator said, bind up the testimonies. See, we don't need no book, because Yahweh said, bind up the testimonies and seal the law amongst my disciples. You know, John had disciples. The Christ of the New Testament had disciples, and Yahweh said he had disciples. And Yahweh said his disciples are the children of Israel, and he said he is bound and will bind his law amongst his disciples. So if the law is bound with us, that means we are not to depart from the law. The law is everything to us, but nothing to the lawless. Do you know when we speak about the death of the righteous? I'm going to tell you a story about one of the greatest men that lived on the face of this earth. You can read about him if you turn to the book of Numbers, the 23rd chapter. This was a great, rich king, and this king's name was Balak. Balak wanted to curse Israel. Balak wanted to stop Israel. And Balak went to a man that was a prophet in the earth, a man that was a seer and can see, a man that had a relationship with the Most High. And he went to this great man by the name of Balaam. And he told Balaam, I'll give you anything you want. Not that Balaam didn't have everything he wanted already, but he assured him that I would crown you with riches beyond your wildest imagination if you curse the children of Israel for me. And he tried to get him to curse, and he wouldn't curse him. The curse turned into a blessing. And then notice what was said in verse 8 of Numbers, the 23rd chapter.
How shall I curse whom Elohim hath not cursed?
The great prophet of the earth named Balaam told Balak, how shall I curse whom Yahweh has not cursed? Or how should I defy whom Yahweh has not defiled? And then he said,
for from the top of the rocks,
from the top of the rocks,
I see him.
I see them.
And from the hills, I behold
him. And from the hills, he behold him.
Lo, the people shall dwell alone.
He said, Israel shall dwell alone. He knew Israel was never to be integrated amongst the nations. He said, thy people shall dwell alone.
And shall not be reckoned.
They shall not be counted or reckoned amongst the nations as the other people. I know you make centrists to count the other people, but they are not to be reckoned amongst the nations.
Who can count the dust of Jacob?
Then he said, who can thou count the dust of Jacob? Because we were more in number than the dust of the earth. Who can count the dust of Jacob?
And the number of the fourth part of Israel.
And who can number even the fourth part of the children of Israel?
Let me die the death of the righteous.
He said, let me die the death of the righteous.
And let my last end be like his.
Let my last end be like his. In other words, I don't care how many soldiers you got. I don't care if you're a great king. If you're ready to kill me now, I'm ready. But let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his.
And Balak said unto Balaam,
brothers and sisters, you and I are going to have to consider. We're going to have to ask ourselves a question. Why would one of the most richest, powerful prophets on the earth at that time, why was he not afraid to die? And if he died by the hands of King Balak, who could have had his neck cut off instantly for disobeying him, why would he tell him, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his? What is the death of the righteous? How is the death of the righteous any different than anyone else? Don't everybody just die and give up the ghost and their bodies go back into the earth from which it came? Don't everybody just die and their spirits go back to the Maker and to the day of judgment? Thus, the righteous have a different death than anyone else? Well, brothers and sisters, I know your pastors have never taught this, but they have. The death of the righteous is altogether different from the wicked. First of all, Yahweh said, the righteous shall inherit the earth. They should inherit the earth. Notice Psalms 37. And notice what it says in verse 29. I know you was taught by your pastors that you're going to go and die and go to heaven. Well, they had to teach you that because there's nowhere that Yahweh said that anyone else other than Israel, which is who he considers the righteous, nowhere else is it mentioned that anyone would inherit the earth. So since they didn't have nowhere to take you, they had to find somewhere. So the Christians, they found, well, we're going to teach them, we're going to go up in heaven. We're going to sprout wings and fly away and be like the birds. And we won't be married and we won't have no kids because nowhere for them to sit down on and no place to lay. We'll just be flying around just eating honey and drinking milk. And the Muslims said, well, we're going to die and go to a little river under the earth and we're going to just have virgin women just sexing us night and day, just sexing us to death, and we won't have to worry about nothing. And all of these places that they speak of would be given them after they die, somewhere else. There was only one people that was promised eternal life on this earth, and that's the righteous, and Yah considered them to be Israelites. It says in Psalms 37, verse 29,
the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever.
The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Now, if they're going to dwell there forever, then when are they going to go to heaven? Well, the point is they're going to never go to heaven because they will be inheriting the land of Israel forever, as all of the scriptures plainly states. You know what King David said in Psalms 27? Psalms 27, I don't minimize what he's saying. For the scripture says, every word of Yahweh is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add not thou unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And anybody stated that the righteous fools to go to heaven is a liar. Yah never said that. The New Testament does not even state that. And they have been found a liar. Yah said throughout the scriptures that the righteous shall inherit the earth. Notice what David said in verse Psalms 27, verse 13.
I had fainted.
He said, I had fainted.
Unless I had believed to see the goodness of Yahweh.
And I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of Yahweh.
In the land of the living.
In the land of the living. Not the land of the dead. Not up there in heaven. But in the land of the living, which is here on earth. Notice what David said in Psalm 17. Verse 15.
As for me. I will behold thy face in righteousness.
I will be for it. Look what he says unto Yahweh. Behold, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness.
I shall be satisfied. When I awake. With thy likeness.
Hello. In other words, what the great prophet the Lamb was saying, he knew that the righteous are supposed to have eternal life on this earth, where they would be awakened from death in the likeness of Yahweh, and that they would inherit the earth forever, and the righteous would live in the presence of Yahweh forever. No wonder the great prophet the Lamb said, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. Didn't fear nothing. Wasn't worth thinking about dying as long as he could die the death of the righteous. Now, what is the death of righteous? And how will the righteous be on earth forever? And how will their children be here forever? Will they have children? Yes, Yah said, even though we would be in his likeness, that we would multiply and multiply and multiply in the land forever, and that he would dwell in our presence forever, and that David would be our king on this earth forever. He said, Alicia, where is that at? Let's turn to the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. Let's turn to Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, and let us see why Brother Kimuel did not fear death. Let us see, Brother Balaam didn't fear death as long as it could be the death of the righteous. You don't want to die the death of the wicked. But many of you all, that's what you got coming. And I know you might say, well, I don't think you're right, Brother Alicia. I don't keep all the laws, but there's a lot of good people in my church. A lot of nice people and a lot of nice, kind people. Well, I won't deny that at all. There are a lot of good people in church, in churches, Christian churches, Muslim churches, other churches. There was a lot of good people on earth. But being good is not good enough. I repeat, being good is not good enough. Yah didn't want us to be good. He wanted us to be righteous. And the word righteous means he that is just and lawful. A lawful person. A lawful person keeps the law. That's reason. Time ago, since they said that Christ came to die for the sins of the world, we asked why didn't he die for the sins earlier when the earth was destroyed with a flood? If, in fact, he came to die for the world, why did he die for the world that was destroyed with a flood? Why was the only people that were saved was Noah, his three sons, and their wives? Why were they only ones that were saved? And you might want to ask yourself now, why did the Almighty spare Noah? Was it that Noah was the only one that was serving Christ? Was it that Noah was the only one that was speaking in tongues and was being baptized and believed in the Holy Ghost? Was it that Noah was a Christian? No. Noah was not a Christian. Notice Noah did not believe in Christ. The reason that Yah stated that he spared Noah is very apparent. We'll read that in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, we want to go to around the 6th chapter. And we want to read the 7th to the 9th verse. Notice what this says and don't forget it. You don't have to like me. Well, let me tell you, Mama may have, Papa may have, but Yah bless the soul that has his own. At the final state, you're going to have to plead for your own soul. As Yahweh said unto him, shall every knee bow, and unto him shall every tongue swear to him. So you're going to have to make them confessions. And it's not going to be good enough that I believe the preacher. Everybody in my family was Christians. That's the way I was raised, and I was just going with the flow. That's not good enough. Especially when y'all notice that you notice that he said never to worship no one but him. And when he gave you that commandment, he made no exceptions to the rule. When he told you to keep his commandments, he told you that his commandments are forever. So it don't make no difference that you say on that day that somebody else told me that the laws were done away with. Somebody else told me that if I worship this other person, I can get right with the Most High. That's not an excuse at all. But notice what it said about Noah.
And Yahweh said, I will destroy man.
I will destroy man, said the Creator.
Whom I have created.
I made him. I brought him into the world, and I can take him out. How many times your mama said that? And she was right. But she was not as right as the Most High. Because he made all of us, and he created mankind collectively. Like he said, I brought you in, and I can take you out. And he said, I will destroy man.
Whom I have created.
Whom I created.
From the face of the earth.
And I'm going to destroy him from the face of this earth.
Both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahweh.
Now why is it that only Noah found grace in the sight of Yahweh?
These are the generations of Noah.
Why only did Noah find grace? And it said, these are the generations of Noah.
Noah was a just man.
Noah was a just man. I told you that's what the word righteous means. Someone that's just and someone that's lawful, the commandments and the laws. Noah was just.
And perfect.
And perfect. I know you learned in church that there's none that was perfect but Christ. But Yah said Noah was perfect. Yah never spoke of Christ, period. Name never came out of his mouth. But he said Noah was perfect.
In his generations.
In his generations.
And Noah walked with Elohim.
And not only was he perfect, but he was like his great-grandfather, Enoch. He walked with Yahweh. The Creator said in Amos 3:3, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And in other words, Noah was in agreement with Yahweh. As we, many of the Israelites, are this day. We are in agreement. We don't have to elect a president or a king because Yahweh is our king, and we never relinquish his seat to no one. We never said we wanted a king like the other nations. Yahweh has been our only king, our only president, our only savior, our only redeemer, and there has never been none else nor beside him. Furthermore, you find in Genesis 7 and 1, it states,
And Yahweh said unto Noah,
And Yahweh said unto Noah,
Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation.
In other words, he said, You have been just. You have been lawful because you follow the law. And you know Noah knew the law, because what did Yahweh tell Noah to bring into the ark with him? What did he tell him to bring into the ark with him?
Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens.
Of every clean beast, bring seven pair. Why? Because you're going to be using them for food. Why? Because they're clean. And when you get on earth, the population will eat of them. So you need seven times more clean animals than unclean. Well, the Christians say everything is clean. But what did Yah say? I want you to bring seven pair of clean animals into the ark.
The male and his female.
The male and the female.
And of beasts that are not clean.
And hold it. The Almighty said there are some beasts that are not clean. And he's talking about that filthy swine. He's talking about other beasts as well. There are beasts that were not clean.
By two.
Bring them by two. You only need one pair because you'll never eat them anyway. They're not to be eaten.
The male and his female.
Because if they had ate one of the unclean things, you would never had that animal on the earth today because there was only one pair. So if one of them got in an accident and one of them were eaten, then you wouldn't have no unclean beast on this earth. But if you had seven pair clean, what do you think they ate on the ark? 40 days and 40 nights. That vegetation went bad. They had to start eating. And what did they eat? The clean beast. That's what it was for, to make sacrifices to Yahweh and to be consumed for food. Did he know the clean from the unclean if he did not know the law? And why else did Yahweh save and spare his life if he was breaking the law? He was a law keeper. You're not, Mr. Christian, regardless if you call yourself a Seventh-day Adventist, a Jehovah Witness. And so when I keep the Sabbath day, and other groups say, well, I let my baby die, but I'm not going to eat no blood. And another say, well, I baptize. And another say, I speak in tongue. And another say, I believe in Paul. Regardless, you're not righteous. And yet, Yah never defined you as righteous. To be a saint, you have to be righteous. And to be a saint, you have to keep the commandments. To be a saint, you have to keep the covenants. To be a saint, you have to be baptized, means circumcised. And to be a saint, you must keep the Sabbath, and you must keep all of the commandments. That's what the saints does. And that's the reason King, or should I say the prophet, the Lamb said, let me die the death of the righteous. Because Yah talks about the righteous in great length. And let's read what Yah said about the righteous and about his saints. Let's turn to the book of Psalms, the very first chapter or division. Psalms. Now, when Brother Kimuel learned Yah's laws, then he quit going to these whorehouses that are worshiping with the great whore, which is the Catholic Church, and all the Baptist Church and all the other denominations is who they call the little whore locks. And it's a whorehouse because that's where they commit fornication. That's where they commit spiritual adultery called idolatry in these whorehouses. And once you learn the truth, you don't go in these places to worship. Look what the great songist said in the book of Songs, the first chapter.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly.
And you're going to, and in this chapter, I'm glad you all listen, because Yahweh will define who are the godly and who is the righteous. But it starts off, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. You know who they are, people going to church on Sunday, going on the day that Constantine set up, or going to church on the Sabbath day, praising Christ. Those are what they call sinners. You can't praise Christ except you are a sinner. Because when Yah gave the law, there was no exception to worship anyone in the law but Yahweh. The first commandment is, I am Yahweh the Elohim that brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of a house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods besides me. When he says besides him, that meant up over him, under him, beside him, or around him, any besides him, period. Now, if he wanted to make an exception for Christ, this was the perfect time when he gave us the commandments that he wrote with his fingers on the tablet of stone and gave them unto Moshe to deliver unto the children of Israel. The first commandment is, thou shalt have no other Elohim besides me. No exceptions to the rule was given. But you have made an exception to the rule. Furthermore, the Creator says in the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, the very 8th verse, Yahweh says,
I am Yahweh.
I am Yahweh, not we or Yahweh. I am Yahweh.
That is my name.
That's my name.
And my glory.
And my glory.
Will I not give to another?
Will I not give to another, nor my praises to graven images? Yah will not turn over any of the praises that were ordained for him and him alone to be shared with any hippie on a stick. He did not want any of his praises enjoyed with anyone else but himself. And notice he didn't make an exception here. He didn't say, we are Yahweh. That is our name. And we won't give our glory unto another, nor our praises to graven images. He said, I am Yahweh. That is my name, personal pronoun. And I'll not give my glory to anyone else. Notice he didn't say, I'll not give my glory to anyone else but my son. You making exceptions to the rule where Yahweh made no, made none, period. Made none, period. But you are. Here the Creator says in Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. When you in church with a preacher preaching for money, and he's going to go down the basement and eat some pig feet, and got you thinking that Sunday is a holy day, got you thinking that you don't have to be circumcised, got you thinking that you can worship Christ on the Sabbath day instead of Yahweh, you are in the seat of a scornful. Our people scorned people such as that. Let's keep reading.
But his delight.
His delight is where?
Is in the law of Yahweh.
But in these churches, they teach you laws are done away with. There is not one Christian church that exists on the face of this earth that teaches that you must keep all of Yahweh's commandments, because they break them all. Every church you know of speaks against circumcision, and you can't be a part of Yahweh's holy people if you ignore the covenant of circumcision. Brother Kemuel didn't. He joined unto the covenant of the Sabbath day. He joined on to the covenant of circumcision. And he joined on to the covenant of the commandments. And he joined on the covenant to be one of Yah's saints. And it said, blessed is that man, for his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law does he meditate day and night. I'm meditating on the law, you meditating on Christ. I'm meditating on the law, you meditating on Peter. Israel meditates in the law of Yahweh both day and night. For Yahweh said, the law is our life and the length of our days. He meditates in the law. I'm going to take time and let many of the people call, because I know a lot of y'all want to call and make comments today on Brother Kemuel and ask questions about our lesson, and you're able to do that. And then there was a preacher that called the other day named what?
Rico.
Rico, we want you to call in because you came on air and you said you wanted to have a discourse with me. Well, I'm here today. And we can set that up for you. So don't run and hide now. I'm here, and I'm waiting for you to call. I know you're listening, but you have nothing to fear but fear itself. And anyone that wants to have any questions about what I'm speaking on, any question about who the sanctified ones are, any questions about what it is to be righteous, any questions or comments on Brother Kemuel today, call in, because we're dedicating our show today to Brother Kemuel. So don't hesitate to call in. Let's keep reading. But his delight
is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law does he meditate day and night.
And Yahweh said, the man that meditates in his law day and night, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters,
that bringeth forth his fruit in his season.
His leaf also shall not wither.
And whatsoever he does shall prosper.
God said, whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly, he said, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away.
Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment.
He said, ungodly people won't even be in the judgment. No wonder the king or the prophet Balaam said he wanted to die the death of the righteous. The righteous are the only ones that will be on the day of judgment.
Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
That's mean the sinners that don't want to come to the congregation of the righteous. Everybody that's welcome and is welcome at the house of Israel, but the only one that goes through the doors are the righteous. Sinners don't want to dwell with the righteous. Oil and water just don't mix. They that hate Yahweh and his commandments don't sit too lightly with those that love the law.
Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment.
The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment.
Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For Yahweh knoweth the way of the righteous.
Yahweh knoweth the way of the righteous.
But the way of the ungodly shall perish.
But the way of the ungodly shall perish. Their way shall perish. Let's read that again. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For Yah knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, what is a sinner? A sinner are they that are not keeping the laws and the commandments. Even the New Testament defines a sinner as a person that breaks Yahweh's commandments. It says sin is a transgression of the law. That's how your book defines sinners. But on this memorial, we're going to stop for a minute, and we're going to comment and allow others to comment that wants to comment on our lesson as well as on our dearly beloved brother, Kimuel. I don't see a lot of the names up here. Is there a name on one that's listening? Well, do our listeners want to comment? Let me ask them, and they want to just listen, they can. Let me ask the people. Number one, do you want to comment on our lesson? Hello?
Hi. Shalom.
Shalom. Do you wish to comment on?
Yeah, well, I this is Hadia, and I want to, I'm enjoying the program, and I do, I am just very delighted that you dedicated the program to Kimuel, because he was a great brother. I miss him and will always, but I know his spirit will be with us, and it's just great hearing the program and your fire that you're putting out there, because we certainly need it to be woke up. So I pray that the mighty Yah continue to bless you with those words and the patience, the tenacity to continue teaching and trying to wake our people up. Praise
right.
Mighty Yah.
Hello.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I just want to continue listening.
All right. Thank you. You can stay there.
Okay.
We're going to go to Brother Shimsho. Yes, sir.
Shalom, Brother Maria Alicia.
Shalom, shalom.
Beautiful show. Great show.
Well, good. Good.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay.
And I appreciate
that. It's a beautiful program that you're having tonight. And I know if Kimuel, if he was still with us, he'd be right there listening too. And he'll probably be one of the first ones to call in.
All right.
It was a great show, and I hope that a lot of listeners is taking heed to the message today, because this was a great message. And if they don't get this, they won't get it.
All right. Well, thank you,
shalom.
Brother. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to go to someone else. We're going to go to the Black Line. Yes, sir.
Hey, greetings, Elder. Greetings.
Shalom, shalom.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Very well. Great show, great show, great show. And my brother Kimuel is greatly missed, greatly missed. It's beautiful that I know you really don't pay attention to the radio, and you're not an avid listener of the radio, but every time you come in and teach, it's as if some spirit didn't touch you or something didn't touch you that you know what lesson to teach to show our people the folly of other teachers. And
yes.
It's great, brother. And I would like for you to read, if you could, Deuteronomy 23, verse 37 through 39, if you could.
Oh, yes, we will.
All right. I'd like to continue listening, Elder Brother.
Oh, you want to stand on? Stay
yes.
on the line.
Yes, teacher.
All right. Okay, I'm going to have to let some of the people go, though, because we need room for other people to call in. We have any room or don't have? We don't? Well, I'm going to have to let a couple of people go, because we need some people to call in, and we got our lines busy with just people listening. So I'm going to have to ask some of y'all to listen on your radio if you can. But read that verse for them.
Deuteronomy 23, verse, he said 37.
Yeah.
It is verse 37.
No, 37. Okay. Well, we appreciate the call anyway. And Brother Levi is on. Oh, Brother Levi was. Oh, Brother Levi was on. I didn't mean everybody to clear the line, but if anybody want to come back, get a hold of everybody just hung up. I just needed a couple of places, but anybody want to make any comments? Comment. But right now I want to comment on something else. But before I do, I want to let Sister Regina make her comments in relationship to Brother Kimuel and to our show tonight. Sister Regina. Yes.
Greetings, Maury. How are you this evening?
Excellent, excellent.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. I'm here.
How are you doing,
excellent,
Maurice?
Excellent. Thank you.
It's a beautiful program, as always, and I just want to give condolences once again to Brother Kenuel's beautiful family. He was a very upright and righteous brother, a very strong brother. He will be truly missed. I love that brother. He was the real deal, and I'm so glad that you dedicated this beautiful program to him. I hope his family is listening. I know they appreciate it, but he will be greatly missed.
Well, he's one of Yah's saints, and Scripture said, precious in the sight of Yahweh is the death of his saints. So if it's precious to him, you know it's precious to us.
That's right.
And when we know a saint personally, as we did him, and can talk about it and dedicate our show to him, listen, that's a blessing to us.
Yes, it is. Oh. I just hope your Christian listening friends are learning from the truth you're bringing, and maybe someday they could be worthy of, you know, such an honorable, you know what I'm saying? The brother, he was on fire for the mighty Yah, and if more people were like him, man, it wouldn't be nothing we couldn't do.
Hello.
But, you know.
Hallelujah.
The way the cookie crumbles, but as long as we keep listening and learning, we can get to that point as well.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Maurice.
Thank you. Appreciate your calling. Right now, we're going to go to Brother Levi. Yes, sir.
Hey, shalom, brother.
Yes, sir. Shalom.
Shalom, yeah. I just wanted to say a few words. Kimuel was a good brother. And I seen something at the funeral, you know, as family members. You know, there was people, you know, we saw him in class every week on the Sabbath. Brother made it to class. And but we saw people that we didn't know, but they all said the same things that we said, how strong the brother was. And they echoed the same thing. You know, family
That's
members
right.
that we might have seen before, never seen.
Same
All of them said he was strong
right.
brother.
Absolutely.
And that was great. That's
yes,
awesome.
Right.
The brother obviously went one way in Sabbath service and another
mm-hmm.
way outside of Sabbath service.
Yes.
And it was awesome. It was
yes.
awesome to see that.
Right.
Praise Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah.
Praise Yah.
All right. Let me say something to the listening audience. I want you to concentrate on the fact that, according to Numbers 23, verse 10, that Balaam made the statement, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And we can't but wonder why he wanted to die the death of the righteous. Even though he was a prophet of another nation, and he knew the Most High and was very wealthy, he still considered Israel the righteous nation and said he can't curse whom Yahweh has blessed. And he said he would like to be like one of those blessed people. Now, why is Israel so blessed? Did you know Israel was the only nation that Yah says that he knew? Amos 3 and 1 said, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Is that why Balaam said he wanted to die the death of the righteous? Because we are the only nation that Yah said he really knows and had a relationship with? Or is it that Yah said that Israel is the apple of his eye? Zechariah 3 and 8. and says, he that offends you offends me. Isn't that something? The creator of the world said, he that offends you offends me, for you are the apple of my eye. And said, I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. And through thee and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Is that why? Or is it because Yahweh said in Jeremiah, the 12th chapter, the 7th verse, that Israel is his dearly beloved of his soul? Did you know that? Yah said in the book of Jeremiah, the 12th chapter, the 7th verse,
I have forsaken mine house.
Because they disobeyed him, Yah said, I have forsaken my own house.
I have left my heritage.
I have left my heritage. He called Israel his heritage.
I have given the dearly beloved of my soul.
Here, Yahweh called Israel the dearly beloved of his soul. No wonder Balaam wanted to be like them. Never said that about the Christ of the New Testament. Never said that about him or anyone else. But he said, Israel is the dearly beloved of my soul. Said, Israel is the apple of my eye. And then in the book of Isaiah, the 45th chapter, here, Yahweh says in the 17th verse,
but Israel shall be saved in Yahweh.
He said, Israel shall be saved, not in Christ, but Israel shall be saved in Yahweh.
With an everlasting salvation.
And he said the salvation that we will have is an everlasting salvation.
Ye shall not be ashamed.
Ye shall not be ashamed.
Nor confounded.
Nor confounded.
World without end.
Is that why Balaam wanted to die the death of an Israelite? Because Yahweh himself said that we are his world without end. No end. His dearly beloved.